The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. Here's my telephone number, 877. Bob Live, 877-262-5483. President Biden is addressing the nation as we speak. He began his speech at about 5 o'clock, about 6 minutes ago. I have watched the first few minutes, and I've just got several observations, just real quickly, and then I want to get into something else. He told us back in July, he does not support mask mandates. Remember that? His press secretary, Jen Psaki, said in July, the president, this administration, does not support mask mandates. Well, the president is, as we speak, announcing mask mandates. And he is going full-throated at the unvaccinated. Now, something I learned a long, long, long time ago, guilt is a terrible motivator. He is coming out and just openly attacking anyone who is unvaccinated. We're having a surge, and the reason is because of you. People are dying because of people like you. This is not verbatim, probably, but it's close. He said we have what was the word he used? He didn't use catastrophe because he never uses that. Crisis, I think. He says we have a crisis, and he put the full, complete, total, absolute blame on unvaccinated people, and he said it as he can do in a very angry tone. Look right into the camera. You people, the unvaccinated, it's your fault. It's all your fault. People are going to die. And the reason why I am forced to issue mask mandates and all of these draconian measures, it's not my fault. It's your fault. Because he began his speech, as he usually does, we made great progress in just 7 months. Look what we have done. Great progress. When I became president, everything was so bad. And he has never once, you know, he has sung the praises of the vaccine over and over and over again. He has never once given credit to the driving force behind these vaccines. That was Trump. These vaccines were all developed before he became president. He had zero to do with the development of the vaccines. Nothing. He had nothing to do. And yet he has tried to take all the credit. Anyway, he is issuing some really draconian measures to get a handle on this pandemic. And I'm not going to go any further into that because I spent almost an entire segment in the last hour on my personal views on this vaccine. And I am not telling you to get vaccinated, but I am pleading with you, if you don't, have a good reason. I think the president would be much, much more. Listen, people who are absolutely dug their heels in and said, I am not going to get vaccinated, are not going to be motivated by the president saying, it's your fault. It's your fault. People are going to die because of you. Who is going to be motivated by that? It is going to cause people who are resisting the vaccine to resist it even more. That's human nature. It would have been far more effective if he would have said, study it for yourself. I know that many of you are reluctant, but maybe here are some resources that you can look at. Study it out for yourself instead of this, it's your fault. It's just, it's going to make things worse, and it divides us. But this president, he promised that he would be an agent of unity. Oh, my goodness. He's not uniting anybody. He is dividing. So expect, and I haven't heard the rest of the speech, but he is issuing new mandates, requirements. You will do this or else. And as I said, that's a terrible motivator. It is a terrible, terrible motivator. But again, this is serious. People are dying. People are getting very, very sick. Those being admitted to the hospital, those numbers are increasing, and those are real numbers. And I think the fact is, from what I can tell, most of those that are seriously ill have not been vaccinated. I think that is far more motivation than you won't do what we say, so we're going to make you do it, which is his approach. Al Mohler has written an excellent piece. He's the president of Southern Seminary down in Louisville. And a brilliant man. I have no idea how this man does what he does. But he has written an excellent piece that I recommend to you. And I want to give him credit for what I'm going to read to you. He has written a piece called A Profile of Moral Collapse. President Biden, Abortion, and the Culture of Death. And he chronicles the moral collapse of Joe Biden and his changing positions through 50 years in the government. What he absolutely stood for 50 years ago, he is now taking the opposite position. And the only reasonable conclusion is he has done it not because of personal convictions, but political expediency. We need to take a break, but I want to read you some of the facts that Al Mohler deals with in this piece on the moral collapse of our president through the years. Fascinating and sad all at the same time. We'll be back.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Al Mohler, the president of Southern Seminary, has written an exceptional piece based on facts, quotes from the president himself, and he has titled it A Profile of Moral Collapse. He begins by saying almost 50 years after Roe versus Wade, abortion remains the moral issue in American public discourse and politics. There are very few profiles in courage in American politics today. And he makes a case that rather than profiles in courage, they are profiles in a moral collapse, particularly our current president. He says, and I quote, "A particularly important profile in moral collapse now resides in the White House. The story of President Joe Biden's slippery shape-shifting on the abortion issue is both revealing and horrifying." And then I don't have time to read it all because it's like 9 pages long, but let me skip a little. "The fury has been predictable given the state of the Democratic Party and its commitment to abortion on demand. On Thursday and Friday of last week, President Joe Biden made comments condemning the Texas law, calling it un-American, and ambiguously described whole-of-government efforts to oppose the Texas legislation. The president, however, made another statement that deserves particular attention. For decades, Joe Biden rooted his views on abortion in his constantly repeated identity as a devout Roman Catholic. He routinely describes himself as Catholic and has repeatedly affirmed his agreement with Catholic doctrine, affirming the absolute sanctity of unborn human life. Until now. Quote, this is important. Joe Biden has made clear more than once that he personally believes life begins at conception. Until last Friday, that is. Can I repeat that? Joe Biden has made clear more than once that he personally believes life begins at conception. Until last Friday, when in condemning the Texas law, President Biden said, quote, I respect those who believe that life begins at conception. I respect that. Don't agree, but I respect that. With those words, President Biden, the devout Roman Catholic, threw the doctrine and teaching of the Roman Catholic Church out the window. Those of us who have been watching the moral collapse of Joe Biden knew this moment had to come. It came just days ago. But the story of Biden's surrender to the radical pro-abortion position has been progressing over decades, slowly and then suddenly. Then Mueller begins giving dates and specifics. 1972, Joe Biden, who identified as a devout Roman Catholic, ran for the United States Senate from Delaware. Biden's Roman Catholic identity largely shielded him from questions about abortion. But when he was asked, he was opposed to abortion in 1972. In 1976, in the wake of Roe v. Wade, a bipartisan group of lawmakers in 1973 gathered around what became known as the Hyde Amendment, which prevented the federal funding of abortions. The central issue was the understanding that American taxpayers, millions holding pro-life convictions, should not be forced by taxation to pay for abortions. Joe Biden supported this amendment, voting for it in 1976. For context, the Hyde Amendment in 1976 did not carve out exemptions for rape or incest. He held this position for 45 years. That is, until he didn't. Biden even bragged constantly about his principal defense of the Hyde Amendment. But as we shall see, all that changed within 24 hours in June of 2019, when Biden knew he had to reverse his position if he had any chance of gaining the 2020 Democratic nomination. In 1977, Senator Joe Biden voted against allowing Medicaid to fund abortions in the event of rape or incest. In 1981, Joe Biden voted for a constitutional amendment process that would have allowed states to overturn Roe versus Wade. He later described that vote in 1981 as, quote, the single most difficult vote I've cast as a U.S. senator. In that same year, he reaffirmed his opposition to federal funding of abortion in the cases of rape or incest. NPR News reported in 1981 that Biden was one of just two Democratic senators from the Northeast to vote to end federal funding for abortion for victims of rape and incest. In 1982, Joe Biden's views shifted somewhat. A year after voting for the constitutional amendment that would have allowed states to overturn Roe, he reversed his vote. He cast a vote against the same constitutional amendment that he voted for in 1981. In 1983, as a senator, Joe Biden voted against allowing federal employees to use health insurance to pay for abortions. In 1986, Senator Biden told the Catholic Diocese newspaper, quote, abortion is wrong from the moment of conception. That was 1986. 1987, after a scandal erupted over Biden's use of British politicians' speech, he withdrew from the race for the 1988 Democratic Party presidential nomination. As chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Biden orchestrates the effort to reject President Ronald Reagan's nomination of a conservative legal scholar, Judge Robert Bork, to the Supreme Court. Biden facilitates the opposition to Bork, citing the need to defund abortion rights and other court precedents. You see the shifting in policy for Biden? In 1994, Senator Biden wrote a letter to his constituents regarding a debate over the Clinton administration's health care proposals. He bragged that on no fewer than 50 occasions, he voted against federal funding of abortion. He said, as a matter of principle, those of us who are opposed to abortion should not be compelled to pay for them. That was 1994. The next post, 2006, and I'll share that with you when we return. Here's the ultimate point of this article by Al Mohler. Joe Biden has taken a complete 180 on his position of abortion. There is no indication whatsoever, none, that his reasons were anything other than purely political. Yeah, not moral, political.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.